Hello, welcome to the Games Life Podcast, episode 160. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, we're getting ready for the con.
That's pretty much taken up the majority of our time.
Between spending several hours on Friday looking through the schedule to figure out what panels I want to go to.
I feel like my panel selection is very thin this year.
Which works well with our with the people we want to interview, because that means we'll know at least you'll be available to interview.
Yay! Let's let the shyest person do it. That's a great idea.
Hey, nobody ever got over being shy without going up and doing and talking to people.
Still doesn't mean it's easy for me. My problem was that some of the tasks were like, oh, I do want to go see these two things, but then they happen to be at the same time. And I think I had more same time conflicts this year than I ever have. So, like, and I just could not get myself to say, costume contest. It'd be kind of cool to see everything again. But I do not want to be there for 4 hours.
I commend Care Bear for having the gumption to do that.
Yeah, I kept thinking about last night when I was, like, looking through the schedule just to finalize what I wanted to do, and I'm like, I haven't done it since I've just been a regular participant, not press. And with press, I get prime seating and all that sort of fun jazz, but I just...
You don't have to wait in line for it, or...
it's just too long for me. So those going to, like, the panel, like, hour and a half, 2 hour panels sometimes is a lot. It just depends on what they're talking about. Sometimes it's not you know, nearly enough time. And other times you're like, okay. Most of the time, you know, everything's just an hour.
Yeah.
I just don't have the endurance.
Well, we did, for Care Bear's sake, we bought her a monopod so she doesn't have to hold the camera, but just, you know, try and keep it straight and everything the entire time.
Make things a lot easier. As far as if it can go reasonably short and even choosing to just be sitting and, you know, everybody.
It's adjustable, fortunately.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll have better pictures of, like, the balconies and stuff this year because we got a new lens. 70 to 300 millimeters.
Good standard zoom lens. That's what ours was, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I can't remember. It was a nice camera. I miss it. I'm still sad about that. Let's not talk about that.
Moving on. I'm continuing my massive Mass Effect playthrough. I'm on Mass Effect 3 now. I'm on my way to go. The story part that I'm on is to go actually meet with the Turian and Salarian delegates to try and get them to help save Earth from the massive invasion. Fun. I don't know if anybody's ever played... I don't know how many people have played Mass Effect all the way through in sci-fi podcast land. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. I mean, it'll take you a long time. My play time for Mass Effect 1 is probably in the 40-hour range. Mass Effect 2 is 55 hours, and my first time I played through Mass Effect 3 was 30 hours. And now I have the DLC to add to that, so it'll be interesting to see what my final playthrough is.
I have been basically not much. A little bit of Final Fantasy and a little bit of Torchlight. So just a couple of the RPGs.
Nothing. I talked about a lot of games yesterday with my cousin. Still sad. I'm like, okay, I finally thought, I'm like, maybe I should get the Wii U replaced now. Because Zelda the Wind Waker is, you know, getting its HD remake.
And it's coming with its own special version.
Yeah, well, the Wii U has a special bundle with it, and a special gamepad and everything. I can't find it.
It hasn't been released yet.
Well, I can't find it to pre-order.
Ah.
I went to, like, Amazon and such, and it's like, this item is no longer available. And I'm like, was it available earlier?
Did it sell out?
What's going on?
It hasn't been available yet.
Yeah, I haven't checked again for last week or so, but I was just like... Like, this would be a good chance for me to actually, you know, get our Wii replaced at this point, because there's something on it I kind of would like.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's all the thing I've been looking at.
You've been playing Dots a lot.
Dots doesn't count. Das is just like, can I get more points?
Every time I look over at Zelda Queen, she has a tablet. I just beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
It doesn't take a lot of effort to do. It's like, can you make squares? Always squares. Everybody loves squares. I don't want to buy it from GameStop.
Hey, I'm just saying it has the add to cart button.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just...
You could also go to Best Buy. I mean, it'll probably actually be available in stores when it comes out without having to pre-order it.
That's my hope, because I'm like, there we go. Because it's the bigger one. I don't think it comes with Nintendo Land, though.
But it's coming with Zelda.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, you can't entertain other people when they come over as much, but...
I'll bring over my copy of Nintendo Land.
You could probably steal my brother's and he wouldn't care very much.
I mean, the Nintendo Land, it's just like the, you know, basic stuff that came on the, like, with the Wii Sports or whatever.
Yeah, but it has the crazy multiplayer Zelda thing on it.
It's the tech demo. Let's admit it, it's a tech demo.
The funny thing is all those old folks' homes that just have the Wii because
of bowling. Yeah. There's several.
I don't know how much those old people play golf and throw out their backs. Even with, you know, like...
You don't have to do super swings.
That's true.
But...
I go.
Yeah. But do you do tennis?
I always hated tennis in the Wii Sports. I never could get a good handle on it.
Whichever direction you lean the remote, your character moves on screen, and then you have to swing. So, like, if the ball is, you know, going to be going to the right, you lean it to the right, and then you... have to pop it. One thing I had trouble with is judging, like, the distance and timing to hit it. I could usually get my, you know, little character right in front of the ball, and then...
Get smashed with the ball.
I don't know if this was, you know, a real person, this not being edited to do it, but somebody had tied their Wiimote to a ceiling fan, and it was doing perfectly on the tennis game. Yeah.
That's his account. And then I've learned, you know, everybody's been talking to me about Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Which is only on iOS still, I think, isn't
it? Yeah, that's why I'm just like, oh, don't tell me this, because I know it came out in July, like mid-July. So it's been out almost 2 months. We're a couple weeks shy here. And I'm just like, come on, release it on Steam. Charge me $20 for it like you did the other one, so I don't have to spend little microtransaction monies in it.
Yeah, the iOS one is free. But you have to get stars to advance through the game. And you can either do them by doing, like, progressively harder things in each level, like not spending any sun for a minute at the beginning of the round. Basically about 10 or 20 seconds into when the first zombie starts walking is when you can start spending sun. So you're just having to sit there, just collect, you know, the falling sun, and then... start buying things.
It's kind of like some of the achievements in the first one. There is one achievement to collect 999 sun. You just gotta do it when you were going back through your playthrough. Just do it like on the first level. Because you have access to everything available of your plants. And you just have to make sure you can grow up some double sunflowers and just sit there and click and click. Or you do endless mode where sometimes you are maxing out because you're getting so much sun. Because later on, you're only having to put stuff down to replace plants. I've done it a few times.
Well, the thing is with Endless is that as soon as you start having to replace a lot of things, you're going to lose because...
Yeah,
because
you're defensive.
That means that it's like a billion gargantuars.
Well, the mutant ones, too.
Oh, yeah, there's...
there's extra special gargantuars in the Endless mode.
Okay.
That are quicker and faster and meaner and harder to kill.
Yeah.
Not fun.
I watched my brother play a little bit of the new Plants vs. Zombies, and they have some interesting new plants. And he was in the crazy Egypt level, and there are mean zombies. There are ones you call, like, Ra zombies, and they have, like, the Staff of Ra, and they steal your sons.
That's evil.
Those are my son, zombie!
And I'm actually looking forward to at least try out the Plants vs. Zombie Warfare one, where it looks like it is a kind of like...
It is similar to Dungeon Defender.
Dungeon Defender, thank you.
It is a first-person tower defense.
Yeah, that's the game I was looking for. It looks like Dungeon Defenders does. Only you're playing the plants.
We could do it, huh, kitten?
The kitten doesn't care.
He does not care. He will spend hours though with me if I play games on the computer. He just hangs out in the other chair. It's awesome. It's like my little computer gaming buddy.
Your gaming co-pilot?
Yeah. Although I've been told that we have to update and play Guild Wars 2 this month.
They released an 8-bit Guild Wars kind of game in game, basically.
Okay. I'll update it and log in.
I was learning that from my cousin. That is, everybody keeps telling me I have to get Monster Hunter Tri.
By everybody, do you mean Irish Pride?
And my cousin. And her boyfriend. Yeah. But I'm like, well, I can get Pikmin 3 now. I was having a lot of fun playing the demo there, and I really liked the first one. I never got the chance to get the second one, so... My cousin said she was always frustrated by the first one. She liked playing it, but she hated the time limit. And I'm like, yeah, kind of adds this extra level of, oh my gosh, I gotta get through stuff. And you can't kind of enjoy the scenery and other things as much because you literally have 30 days to collect all your ship parts. And there's a couple of bonus ones, like the bank. Oh, that one's a pain in the butt to get because the thing that guards it's super hard. But I did it. I got all the extra stuff within the time frame. But it's been a lot of time since I played.
Yeah, didn't they get rid of the time frame in Pikmin 2?
I think so. They also introduced the purple and the white Pikmin.
Yeah, I think in this one they've introduced like those rock ones.
Well, basically the Pikmin can pick up the rocks.
No, I think they actually have ones that are made of rock now.
I'm trying to remember how it was played in the demo.
Because you had the...
Because the demo was multiplayer, right? You had one person controlling Olimar, and then the other people could be...
No, it was single player.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a single player
okay.
thing. Yeah, what you could do is... I don't know, they could get the rocks. And I don't know if they were like putting the rocks on them as armor or something, or maybe there were just rock ones. I can't remember. There were rocks!
I think they were rock Pikmin.
I don't know, I just...
They were useful for throwing at that... Boss had the carapace.
Yeah. Because they would break it. So, I might break down and get a Wii U now. The only other thing I'm waiting for is I finally got Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds got official release date of November 22nd. And I'm like, of course. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So why did you come out earlier? Like
Rock Pikmin.
Okay.
Sorry.
Like, why did you come out closer to my birthday? Why do you have to come out between my birthday and Christmas? Because it's what I want for my birthday, but I can't get it on my birthday. Well, what's the pinky one?
He can fly.
Flying Pikmin this time. Okay. He looks like a little radish.
A little bit, huh?
Little pink radish. But I'm kind of interested to see how this one works because... I follow on Tumblr a site called Tiny Cartridge, and all they do is just
portable games.
And most of the time, it skews heavily Nintendo and DS. Poor Vita doesn't get too much love on there, but it's just like some of their titles are few and in between, so they don't get as much coverage. But they were talking about Zelda, and one of the team developers was talking about, they're like, yeah, you know, I've always collected rupees. They're like, this time. We're really making sure you want to collect rupees. Because it looks like your, like, items, you don't get them from the dungeons. You have to buy them all.
Yeah, so things like bombs, bow, hookshot.
Shovel.
Yep, definitely.
Fire and ice rod. There was one screen capture that was showing the shop. I'm like, okay, there's the ice rod and the fire rod. I'm like, that looks like the book. But I'm not 100% sure. It's kind of hard to tell. There was this... The bow and arrow was on there. The hook shot was on there.
They had bombs.
There's, I think, a couple... like one more item I can't remember right
Boomerang?
Now. Boomerang, yeah. And I'm just like, I wonder how much they're going to cost. Because I always have been the person who...
I am going to assume that their cost will be variable. And it'll basically be like, the one that you're supposed to buy first will be the cheapest.
And then after that, everything else will... change.
Depending on how soon they force you to use it in order to get through a dungeon will depend on how expensive it is.
Exactly.
It's like, well, in theory, if they've been playing and they're at this point, they should have this many rubies, and if they don't, if they're not there, it shouldn't be hard for them to get that many at this point, so we'll force them to pay this much for this item. Or at least I hope they thought it through that way.
Well, we'll see. I'm just excited, because Link to the Past is my favorite Zelda of all time, so having something that's kind of a direct sequel, or at least a sideways sequel, we can even say, sidestep sequel, makes me excited.
Yeah, I mean, still, it is quite a sequel, kind of. It's in the same world, and so it has similar places.
I just wonder how it plots in the story, or at least in the timeline. Yeah, the only other thing I've been doing is watching some anime. I have a new anime I need to watch now that I'm like, ooh, okay, gotta watch this, but been watching more Attack. I caught up again on Attack on Titan, except for the episode I think that I can watch now that was released on Saturday. Not a premiere person, but it takes a week for the episode that they simulcast to be available to non-paying people. That and free. That's what I usually do on Monday when I'm eating my breakfast, which will have to wait till Tuesday when I'm eating my breakfast. So I have to work. Switching days to have a day out for the con! That way I don't lose any hours.
Oh, speaking of anime, everyone should go and watch the Space Dandy preview.
Oh, yes.
It is going to be amazing.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't yet.
Have you heard of it at least?
Yes.
I told him.
He told me yesterday. He told me on Friday.
Hello, Tia. Yeah. It's from Watanabe. And
Yoko Kano.
I'm pretty sure Yoko Kano is doing the soundtrack.
Well, sounded like Yoko Kano, that music. Is it Yoko Kano or some, like, protege or something?
Yeah, but basically it's like it's about a dandy guy in space. Well,
in the space.
I think for the Japanese translation it's like, oh guys, you don't need the but it's really shiny and pretty, and somebody's like, it looks like got hit by the disco stick. The only other thing, I was just like, oh yay, boobies, okay. There's literally, I think, a restaurant place called Boobies, which I think is sort of a ploy on Hooters. But they're space alien ladies, so there sometimes was to have more than one set.
Or like lizard people.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta cater to all sorts if you're in space.
But the guy's like companion's like this little kitten thing. It's like a little kitten alien.
And he has a little robot thing to look like too.
And he has hair. Man, he has hair. But yeah, it's like the official trailer is about 2 minutes long. And it's supposed to, I think it's supposed to simulcast maybe sometime later this year. Don't know when. The only other thing I'm waiting for is Sailor Moon's supposed to launch in December simulcast. So I'm like, Sailor Moon!
Who's doing the simulcast?
I'm going to check with Crunchyroll first. That would be my first guess since they simulcast so much other stuff.
Yeah.
Unless one of the studios here decides to pick up the rights for later, so...
Is one of the studios going to pick up the rights for later? Yes.
Yeah. For which one? I don't know. It could be Aniplex. It could be Funimation.
I hope it's not Aniplex.
I know.
Aniplex will put 2 episodes on a disc and charge you $50 for each of them.
So they're using the old style model.
Yeah. Because they're going to be at IndieCade. I feel kind of bad because I'm like, some of your stuff is really cool. And some of it's coming out all right. But then I was like, Madoka, I don't want to buy it. Because it's way too expensive. Especially considering how much the model has changed for a lot of anime. I'm like, I'm not going to pay 50 or even 30 bucks for 2 episodes. It's back to like, they're on VHS. And you can get more than 2 episodes on a DVD now. So, we'll just have to see. I'll have to see, because Viz could even pick it up. I don't know. I guess
forget about Viz.
Because ADV had all the rights before, but ADV no longer exists, so maybe Funimation will pick it up. And it makes me wonder, too, if they pick up the new one, if somebody will pick up the rights again, see if they can negotiate the old ones. So they can, you know, re-release them, or at least get freaking stars domestically released, so I don't feel like a heel for wanting to buy a knockoff online.
My theory when, unable to legitimately purchase thing is that it is okay to illegitimately purchase, or whatever.
They're not going to make it available to me. They're the reason why I have to pirate it.
Pretty much.
Let me buy it, and I will, is usually kind of my theory on that stuff.
Yeah. The thing is that when Sailor Moon was originally coming out, it was kind of, it was targeted to the middle school kind of girls, and then they're like, we're kind of weirded out at localizing that stars to our target audience.
Well, I think that was part of it, and I don't know if they could negotiate it. I don't know. I do not know all the things that happened with that. And I know everybody always came up in arms about how much they edited stuff and whatnot, but I'm like, I think it's, you know, there wasn't a lot of anime still in the States.
Yeah, there was basically reruns of Speed Racer and Voltron.
Yeah.
Or Go Lion, or whatever.
Yeah, so there's a few things picked up, but not in the same...
Dragon Ball was starting to air on Saturday mornings around the same time.
Yeah. Well, Sailor Moon was in the middle of the week.
I remember. It was on weekday mornings.
Like at 6 or 6.30 in the morning. I had
because I ended up catching the tail end because, like, Johnny Quest or something was always on at 7.
So
what the hell is this?
I set up the VCR recorder so I could record it. That way I could watch it when I got home from school. Because it used to be on for a little while, I think, in their afternoon block. And then they put it... I'm like, why did you put it so blasted early in the morning? No one's gonna...
It's funny that in spite of that, it became, it forced me to reckon with.
It's the only show that had girls. That were actually competent and not just the token one girl there. Because the whole team's girls. And one boy, tuxedo mask. There we go.
But sometimes rescuer, sometimes rescuee.
Yes.
God, it's so cracking up that you showed me that episode with the cats and just the episode sailing with all the cats.
Oh.
And there's like tuxedo mask cat who like throws a rose down and is like, wow.
Well, you guys all kind of saw that episode a little bit, because it was in the counting contest.
Yeah, that was the counting contest episode thing.
So I made Proteus watch the whole episode, because I have it on DVD, so...
That's kind of funny.
It was a weird episode.
Well, I remember the first time, speaking of weird episodes, the first time Care Bear tried to watch Utena, I was sitting down with her, we had the discs out of order.
Yeah, you told me
that. So the first one we watched was the one where the one girl thought that she had laid an egg.
Nami, yeah. Well, it gets really crazy when you start discussing what you think the symbolism of the series is, and most people are in consensus that it's supposed to be, talking about girls' menstruation cycle starting. Yeah.
Goodness knows that is an awkward time.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I don't know, Utena is one of those heavy on symbolism and crazy stuff. And I know one day I was talking to Proteus about Utena. I forget how exactly I got on this conversation. So
We're talking the whole way we're driving home from Brighton, and I was kind of like, whatever, I'm driving, it's late, and I'm just trying to keep myself awake.
Jim's like, I'm a prisoner. These things with more people need to watch it, but it's like I just have you mostly, and you're not interested.
Try Nisi.
Maybe she can translate some of my books. I have a lot of Utena books that have a lot of secret stuff that kind of explains some stuff from the series, but I can't read Japanese.
So, like, I have this book. It has all these words in it. I don't know what any of them say.
Nope, I buy it mostly for all the pretty, pretty pictures.
Well, there's a reason for you to work on learning Japanese, so you can finally read your book.
Yeah, well, books. I have more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing...
Zelda Queen has lots of art books.
Yeah. Well, that's my funnest thing to buy is art books. I love buying art books. It just depends on what series it is and how I like the art and whatnot. Because I've gotten rid of a couple of them, but mostly just because I'm like, don't care anymore. Mostly like the Xenogears book. That one I at least sold for a good amount. Because apparently everybody decided it's collectible! In the time I bought it. So yay! Going back to anime, I'm going to start watching Crunchyroll. It's called Silver Spoon. And it is from the artist who originally did Full Metal Alchemist. And I was like, oh, cool. And from the description, I'm like, it's Harvest Moon, the anime! Kind of. It's about a kid who's, he's going into, like, his last couple of years of high school or something, but he doesn't really know what he wants to do with his life, so he decides to go out to the boonies to this agricultural school to see if maybe he can do agricultural things. he's like, maybe this is right, you know, life. So he's, you know, trying to see, surviving the school, but also trying to figure out what he wants to do. I think the first 8 or 9 episodes are available now outside of the premium. I think there might be 9 or 10 with the premium. So that's the thing I'm going to start watching here. Yeah, now.
This really becomes a more interesting thing, being able to just, you know, watch a couple episodes of a thing as it's being released.
It's really...
It was kind of never a part of anime culture in the U.S. It's like, when do the DVDs come out? Does the box set come out?
Well, initially, when it very first started, it's like, okay, who can I get to send me a VHS copy of this? Then it moved into what DVDs are available, and now it's become more or less, so what site is streaming the show I want to watch 2 weeks after it came out in Japan, or the day it comes out in Japan?
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive if you think about that. It's like, okay, so we've got it recorded, we've got it filmed, and we've already got it translated into another language.
I assume that in these cases they are doing the translation in parallel with the
initial production. I still think it's pretty impressive compared to how it used to be.
It's not like it's like released in Tokyo at 10 p.m. and then there's like translators furiously working through it to release in the U.S.
Well, with the number of things Crunchyroll does...
Well, they are probably still furiously working through
there
things.
There are a couple, sometimes when you're watching stuff, there's a couple wonky translations, and you're like, what? I'm like, there probably is not a close English equivalent right now. That was the closest they could do.
Yeah, that's the one where they translated it, but it doesn't work culturally.
Yeah. There's like one weird thing, Attack of Titan, that everybody in the comments is like, what? Like... This one character, like, wipes his hands off on the back of another character. He's like, why are you doing that? And he goes, like, my trust in humanity or something. It's like...
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. And, like, it kind of in the context sort of makes sense, but it's still a little weird as well.
Well, I am going to mention one video game-related news thing real quick, because I think it was announced after we did our last recording. The Xbox One is coming out November 22nd. I'm probably the only one in this room that gives a damn about that, but it is coming out November 22nd.
Zelda comes out 22nd. It trumps everything else, sorry. At least in my mind.
They're all trying to get the Thanksgiving.
Oh, Black Friday. Oh, my. Sometimes I'm like, should I just, you know, wait it out and just purposely buy it so I can sell it on eBay for 3 times the amount of money and get, you know, something else.
Well, you don't have to work on Monday.
I do not have to work on Monday.
And you can instead make us like $300.
Remember, that only really works if they actually do run out of consoles in the stores.
Otherwise, it's like, here, have an Xbox One, Merry Christmas. He's kind of sitting around like the Xbox 360. Mostly because we can't play Rock Band with the drums anymore.
And it sucks that you can't really buy that equipment anymore either.
No, like the ones that used to be like the expensive drum sets, like the premium ones, they now cost the same as the like regular drum sets. Like, those ones, the prices stayed the same. The basic ones, prices just gone.
That's because they don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
Stupid supply and demand.
Stupid oversaturate the market, burn everyone out on a thing, and then...
pull everything.
Yeah.
There's no more Guitar Heroes, there's no more Rock Bands, there's no more...
You do have the games where they're actually teaching you to play a real guitar now.
Yay, real guitar! There's also called Guitar Lessons.
Yeah, but here, you know, basically
you're
there's...
It's going to cost less, it's going to be like, $50 or something.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. They're still giving you a really fancy guitar, a working guitar, in order to play said game.
They're probably giving you a very basic guitar to play the game, but yeah.
Anywho, but yeah, so
that's still cheaper than Guitar Lessons.
Yeah, probably. And then the PS4 comes out like a week or so before the Xbox One does.
I'll be interested to see the sales numbers starting to come in, mostly because everyone angry at Xbox.
You know, Xbox.
It's been the hilarious thing. Everyone's like raging about like all the things that Xbox was doing. They're like, oh, you can't online all the time. And then they like start changing things, and it's like then the other half of the people are like, you changed the thing that I liked.
Exactly. It's like they cannot win. I mean, I give them a lot of credit for trying to do stuff differently with their system and not just make the same system again, everybody gets pissed off. So then they change things to how everybody that's pissed off wanted it, and then people get pissed off because they're backpedaling what they said they were going to do. It's like, really, guys? Really?
Nerds.
And the thing that irritates me most about it is that one of the biggest things that got pissed off was the always-on requirement, the, you know, once a day online requirements to play the games. It was going to be Steam. It was Steam for a console. That's what the system was.
Yeah, the people that I saw that legitimately had a reason to complain about it was actually the armed forces, because they don't often have an internet connection.
Yeah.
But they want to play their Call of Duty, I guess.
So the only thing I think Xbox should have done is that if the disc is in the drive, it doesn't require the online authentication.
That would have been a very simple way to say it. It's like, obviously, if you have the disc, someone at some point purchased it.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the idea of the family share plan, where it's like, I buy a game, I have 10 people in my family list, and they can play that game whenever, including DLC.
To be honest, that's like an excessive number of people. Like, you think, like, buddy, like 2 or 3 or something, but 10?
See, that would solve our problem, at least for, like...
I buy the game, you guys would play it.
Well, mostly...
Who would buy games anymore? You'd have, like... You just get, like, your kind of friends that all play video games just, like, all get together, make a kitty, and each buy, like, one game a month or something.
But they only allow one per... It was, like, 1 to 2 people at a time can actually play that game. So you can't just buy Call of Duty and then have 10 people share it and play it all at once. Hence, that was actually the reason for the once-a-day check-in, was to make sure that not other people are playing that game at the same time as you.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be useful for us, at least when you want to play MMOs and stuff, because it's all like, man, I got like 2 copies. Basically, I have to buy 2 copies of the game, mostly just to get the keys.
Really, so from this side, I mean, really take like, you know, any of the, you know, multiplayer online games, such as like, you know, Call of Duty or whatever, you still would have to be buying 1 copy for each person that wants to be playing together at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like... When I it's like, if I wanted to loan you guys a game, you could borrow the game and all the DLC at the same time.
That's
and their whole thing about, you know, you can, you know, give a friend on your game. When they were talking about, you could give a friend a game or, you know, loan a friend a game, and you could only do it once per game. What they were saying is you were actually giving a full working copy to that friend, and you kept your copy.
They might have wanted to explain this a little bit better.
They didn't explain it real well in their initial go.
Yeah, I mean, this was, I guess, part of the problem is that Microsoft didn't explain things very well. People got angry, they backpedaled, people got angry again.
And that's part of the thing right now, is that there is so much of a direct conduit between the people who are making stuff and the people who are consuming this stuff, that sometimes it's just like, you feel you're backed into a corner, and sometimes, we've posted and talked about too, but just a level of harassment that some game... I've been hearing that some game designers have been, and other people have been working in the games industry, have been purposely leaving because of backlash. Like, really bad... Like, and sometimes it's not even anything really serious, but just the level of harassment that these people have to suffer through, it's insane. And it's like, these people do not exist to cater to your every whim and need. They are living, breathing, you know, faulty human beings as well as you.
Oh, I did see a funny thing relating to this. I forgot his name now. The creator of Pokemon had put, you know, someone found this little quote from him. It's like, if we put everyone's ideas into a Pokemon game, it'd be an unplayable monstrosity. So instead, when fans send in suggestions, I take them, read them aloud to the design team in a mocking voice, and we laugh at you.
Yeah, because you have to have that balance. And I think as consumers, we are like, these are our precious things. We can't let you do them. I'm like, but they're the ones that have to go through all the work to make the things.
It's technically their precious thing, and they gave it to us in order to enjoy.
Yeah, they're like, we're hoping that you like this as much as we liked it.
They put blood, sweat, and tears into it. We put... $30 to $60, depending on what you're buying it for and when you bought it.
Yeah. So, just treat them nice. Treat people nice. Why is that so hard?
Because the internet has taught people, and it has given people anonymity, and as such, they don't always take responsibility for their actions.
Yep.
Well, we want to call it there?
Yep. next week we'll be at NDK. You can find us wandering around, probably. I'll be dressed as the Ninth Doctor on Saturday.
I'll be dressed as a geek.
I have no idea. I'll be dressed.
I think that is required to for certain con policies.
How about just general society policies?
20 bits rule.
Yeah.
Anywho, if you have any questions, comments, or heck, if there's anything you want us to do at the con that you think would make interesting coverage, send it to mail@thegameslave.com and we will consider anything that's sent to us within reason.
I was gonna say, what do you think we'll see the most in costume this year?
Fairy tale.
Fairy tale. Find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/thegameslave, Twitter at thegameslave, or Google Plus thegameslave. I'm going to stop saying that for a while because I think I've said it enough lately. In the meantime, game on.
Game on.
Game on.